In our morning worship, we are studying the names of God in the Old Testament. And we come this morning to a very distinctive name of God, which stands on its own. I did print two special sheets away at the start of these studies, and there are plenty of copies of these in the front vestibule, and if you're interested, you're asked to avail yourself of them at the close of worship. Now, this name of God stands out very particularly in the 110th Psalm. And so we read together in the Word of God in the book of Psalms at Psalm 110. We have three short readings this morning. You may know that this psalm is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. It occurs over and over again there, and that's an indication of its importance. You notice, if you look at the first verse of this psalm, that the name Lord occurs twice, but it's printed in different ways. The first time it's made up of capital letters, L-O-R-D, and the second time it's printed as L-O-R-D in small letters. That's because these are two different names of God in Hebrew. Lord in capital letters is the word Jehovah. Lord in small letters is the name Adonai. And that's the name of God we study this morning. The Lord Jehovah says to my Lord Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord Jehovah sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your foes. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day you lead your host upon the holy mountains, or in holy array, as it can read. From the womb of the morning, like dew, your youth will come to you. The Lord Jehovah has sworn and will not change his mind. You, Lord Adonai, are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 5. The Lord Adonai is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment upon the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. And therefore, he will lift up his head. Now, the key words are the words of the opening verse. The Lord says to my Lord. Jehovah says to my Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And these are words that were quoted by Jesus and applied by him to himself in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And at verse 41, Christ is being besieged by the Pharisees. Pharisees nowadays to us are held up as objects of ridicule. But it's rather solemnizing to realize that in fact the Pharisees were the conservative evangelicals of their time who had died the death. They were orthodox and sound, but they were dead. And so they besieged Christ with trivial questions. And in Matthew 22 and verse 41, they gather. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think of the Christ, the coming Messiah? Whose son is he?" And the Pharisees said to him, "Why, the son of David." Jesus said to them, "How is it then that David, inspired by the Spirit, in the 110th Psalm, calls him Adonai, Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I put thine enemies under thy feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be David's son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. And in Acts chapter 2, where the same psalm is applied by Peter after his during his preaching on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, and we read from verse 32. Peter says to the crowds, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear. For it is not David who has ascended into the heavens. For David himself says in the 110th Psalm, 'The Lord said to my Adonai, sit at my right hand till I make thy enemies a stool for thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, Adonai and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified.' Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and grant us an understanding of it. In our series of morning studies in the names of God in the Old Testament, we come this morning to a name that is one of the most special and one of the loveliest names of God, and it is a name which stands almost on its own. It's not like the names we've been studying up to now, and you'll discover that it's not at all like the names which we'll be studying after this. Before it stand the names associated with the basic name of El, which means the mighty one, or the one who is able, or the one who has the ability and the power. And from that name El, we have three of the famous names of God. There is El Elyon, the most high God. El Shaddai, God the Almighty, the Omnipotent, and Elohim, the God who is three in one, the God who creates and recreates men in Christ. After today's special name, we'll come to another group of names, all associated with the name Jehovah. And Jehovah is the fatherly name of God. Jehovah is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God who covenants with men for their salvation. And from the name Jehovah, there springs a marvelous list of other names. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord is my righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord is my health. Jehovah Rophika, the Lord is my shepherd. But sandwiched between the El, almighty names of God, and the Jehovah, fatherly, covenanting names of God, there stands this unique name which we study this morning. And it almost stands on its own. It is the name Adonai. And Adonai means the worshipful, revered Lord. And Lord is how the name Adonai is translated in most versions of the Bible. Capital L, little O-R-D. And the little O-R-D distinguishes it from capital L-O-R-D, which is the Bible's name for Jehovah. And something of the importance and the significance of this name Adonai can be seen in the fact that it's a name that occurs over 300 times in the Old Testament. That's oftener than El Elyon, the Most High God. And it's oftener than El Shaddai, the Almighty God. El Elyon is found 32 times. El Shaddai is found 50 times. But Adonai, the worshipful, reverential name of God, is found 300 times. And that is the measure of its importance. And there are two fundamental things to learn right at the start about this name Adonai. And the first is this. This name has to do with a relationship between you and God, or you and Christ. And the relationship that it deals with is that of ownership and possession. You see, Adonai, like the word Elohim, is a plural word. And the singular Adon is the common Old Testament word for a master or a lord or even a despot. And in those days, masters and lords and despots were men who owned you. You did not have an independent life of your own. They owned you. And so the basic idea behind Adonai is the idea of ownership and possession. And the name has to do with a relationship between you and God and you and Christ. And Adonai introduces us to three sets of relationships. First of all, the relationship of creatures to their creator. And secondly, the relationship of servants to their master. And thirdly, the relationship of the redeemed to their redeemer. And this idea of relationship is brought out very pointedly at the start of the book of Malachi. If you know the book of Malachi, you may know that it is a series of complaints. And God brings his grudges and the bones he has to pick with these people. And these grudges from God are dealt with in the book of Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, God brings his first complaint. And this is how it runs. God says, a son honors his father, and a servant his Adon, his master. If I then am a father, where is my honor? And if I am an Adon, a master, where is my fear? Now, do you see God's difficulty there? His complaint is this, that sons were honoring their natural fathers, and servants were fearing their natural masters. But Israel, the people of God, had failed to honor their spiritual father, and they had failed to fear their spiritual master, Adonai, the reverential, worshipful Lord. And so Adonai in the Old Testament comes out as the Lord who is to be held in reverence and feared. He is the worshipful Lord. Creatures are to worship Adonai, their creator. Servants are to worship Adonai, their master. The redeemed are to worship Adonai, their redeemer. And these are the relationships which hold between you and Adonai. I'll just wait for a second. That's the first thing then. It's a question of a relationship between you and Adonai Christ. And the second fundamental thing to learn about the name is this. And it's a very wonderful thing indeed. Adonai is the name of God which Jesus appropriated for himself. And he does it like this. In the passage we read from Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was playing games with the Pharisees and having fun with the Pharisees. And he confronted these dead Orthodox men with the 110th Psalm. And he said to them, when the Messiah comes, whose son will he be? And of course the Pharisees gave the orthodox answer. They said, when the Messiah comes, he'll be the son of David. That's what they believed. Why then, said Jesus, does David in the 110th Psalm call him Adonai, Lord? How can the Messiah be David's son and at the same time David's Lord? And so these men were dumb. They were dumb in their ignorance of Scripture. And they were dumb with embarrassment because their pride had been humbled. Because what the Pharisees couldn't see was this, that in the 110th Psalm, Jehovah Lord is God the Father sitting on his throne. And he turns to Adonai Christ, his Son, the second person of the Trinity, and he says to his Son, just you sit down here, Son, on my right hand, the place of power. Just you sit down here, and I'll wipe out your enemies for you, and I'll make them a cushion for your feet. The Father says to the Son, sit here on the place of power. Jehovah says to Adonai, sit here. And so Adonai, the Christ, is David's Lord. And in due time, Adonai the Christ was born naturally as David's son at Bethlehem. Jesus takes this name of God and makes it his very own. And the early Christian church carried that on. Peter in Acts chapter 2, in the verses we read there, in his mighty sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter takes the 110th Psalm and he applies it to Jesus. And in fact, he applies it to the resurrection of Jesus and to the ascension of Jesus. God the Father saying to his Son, sit in my right hand. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 13, takes the same 110th Psalm and applies it to Jesus. The Lord said to my Adonai. This is Christ's very own name from the names of God. He is the worshipful Lord. He is the Lord before whom creatures stand as before their Creator, and before whom servants stand as before their Master, and the redeemed stand as before their Redeemer. And from these two great spiritual realities, Adonai, as a name which implies a relationship between you and Christ, and Adonai as the name of God which Christ makes his own, there comes a twofold challenge and a twofold call from God to you in the word of the gospel today. First of all, you are called for possession. And secondly, you are called for commissioning. You see, the first of these, called for possession, has to do with belonging. And the second of these, called for commissioning, has to do with service. And in the Bible, they always come in that order. Possession comes before commissioning, and belonging comes before service. And the call to be possessed by Adonai Christ and to belong to Adonai in an exclusive way is one of the primary calls of the gospel. And I'm bound to say here that this is an emphasis which is sadly lacking in a great deal of modern evangelism and modern Christian outreach. You see, the age in which we live is a busy, frantic age. And Christians have been caught up into the frenetic, edgy, nervy busyness of our age. And very often, the call of evangelism today and the call of Christ today is, come and serve. Come and work. Come and do. Come and evangelize. Come and labor. And of course, they're all important. But before you do these things, Jesus says to you, come, belong to me. Learn of me. Sit down at my feet. Drink me in. Take me in. I want to give you myself. And then, serve, work, be busy, evangelize, and labor. The first call of the gospel is a call to be possessed by Adonai Christ. Why do you think time and time again in the Bible the Lord's people are called the Lord's inheritance? An inheritance is something that falls to you by right. An inheritance is something to be possessed by you. God's people are God's inheritance. Why do you think that the church in both the Old and the New Testaments is called God's peculiar people? Or as the modern translations have it, a people for God's possession. Why do you think the country lassie in the Song of Solomon turns twice to her country sweetheart and says, I am my beloved's and he is mine? That's the big thing. I am my beloved's and he is mine. And why do you think Paul says to those wild Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19? You see, they were running their own lives, the Corinthians. They were running the church their way. And it was a sorry mess. And Paul says to them, you are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. You were bought with a price. You were made to belong to Adonai Christ. It's a question of possession. And Peter and Jude in the New Testament go even further. When they speak of Jesus, they use the Greek word despotes, from which we get the English despot. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter says of men and women who have fallen away from Christ and who have become backsliders, that they have denied the master who bought them. And the word he uses is despot. They have denied the despot who bought them. Someone with absolute claims. And Jude in chapter 4 of his letter speaks of backsliders as men and women who have denied Jesus as despot. If you name the name of Adonai Christ today, if you claim to be his beloved, and he is yours, if you are part of the Lord's inheritance, if you are made to belong to him, then you are Christ's own possession. And it is to possession that you have been called. You cannot deny the despot who bought you. You are not your own. Your money isn't your own. Your house isn't your own. Your time and your car and your possessions don't belong to you. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are called for possession. And secondly, you are called for commissioning. Nathan Stone points out in his useful little book, The Names of God, that when great men were called by God in the Old Testament and commissioned by him for their life's work, it is the name Adonai that is used. For example, when God came to Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and told Moses that he was the man who was going to go to Egypt to lead out God's people, Moses protested and said, "Oh my Adonai, oh my master, oh my lord, oh my despot, I cannot go. I am not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Oh my Adonai, I pray you send some other person." Well, these words have been heard in the churches for 2,000 years. "I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I pray you send somebody else. Send my wife. Send my sister. Send my auntie. But don't send me. Oh, my Adonai. My master. Don't send me." In the call of Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, Gideon was afraid of the Philistines, and he was thrashing his corn down in a wine vat. Now, a wine vat was a big hole dug in the earth. Normally, in the East, you don't thrash corn in wine vats. You thrash the corn on the hill, so that the wind can blow the chaff away. But he was afraid to be seen by the Philistines. And God came to him and said, "All hail Gideon, your mighty man of valor, thrashing the corn in the wine vats." And God said that he was the one to be commissioned. And Gideon said, "Oh, I pray you, my Lord Adonai, my master, how can I deliver Israel?" It's the name of God used in Isaiah 6 for the commissioning of the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, "I saw Adonai, my master, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Verse 8, And I heard the voice of Adonai saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. The call of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 6. Oh, says Jeremiah, oh my Lord Adonai, I cannot speak. My master, my despot, I cannot speak. I'm too young. Now you see, the problem with these men was this. And it's our problem that these men were creatures arguing with their Creator. They were servants disputing the call of their master. They were the redeemed questioning their Redeemer. And whenever we today deny the call of Adonai Christ for commissioning for service, we put ourselves in the same position. We become creatures arguing with their Creator. We become servants disputing with our master. We become the redeemed questioning their Redeemer. And there is one very final reason why Christians should surrender to Christ Adonai for commissioning. Jesus himself thought of himself as being under Adonai God. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. I am among you as one who serves. The Father who sent me is always with me, and I always do what is pleasing to him. Christ pleased not himself. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. Christ was a man under the authority of his Father Adonai. And it's because Jesus submitted himself like that to God his Father for commissioning, for service, and for sacrifice, that we too are called to be commissioned like that under the gospel. Adonai Christ was yielded to God his Father, and we in turn are to be yielded to Adonai. He is the despot who bought us. He is the master who owns us. He is the redeemer who has purchased us. Christ is God's, says Paul. And you are Christ's. That's the relationship. Christ is God's. You are Christ's. Therefore, you are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. You have been bought with a price. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who hast given thy holy word for our comfort and our instruction and our growth in godliness and holy living, write thy word in our hearts that we may not sin against thee, but in this world of darkness and need and opportunity may shine the better for him who is our Lord and our Master. For his name's sake, amen.